This is NRL Boom Rookies.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode of Boom Rookies presented by ESPN. I am Matt Bungard and with me today, in person for the first time this year, Nick Campton. Hello.
Hey everyone, I'm just going wild with preseason challenge delight. My hair's crazy, my beard's tangled it out of control because given up on everything else except the sweet, sweet nectar of the preseason challenge. Yeah. Do you think that the Raiders will raise a banner for being the leaders at the halfway point of the preseason
challenge?
I'm also
devastated that because of the fact that we don't have another trial game, we can't win the preseason challenge now.
Wow, your silverware trophy, your silverware droughts continue.
I was going to say, what if they just double? Well, we literally won silverware last night, but, you know.
Charitable silverware. Yeah.
Hey, someone's got to
win. You know
it.
Where they get that shield? They pick it up at Vinnie's every year.
Every year?
Every single year. Yeah.
It's really lucky that every year there just happens to be one lying around there.
Have you ever been to one of those big ones and that have heaps and heaps of sports trophies?
I've only been to.
Mate, I'm telling you.
Oh, fuck yeah. Can we go buy some? Just give them to random listeners for doing a great job.
100%.
All right, let's do that. But we will have a preview with the Bulldogs and the Dragons coming shortly. But before that,
Simi Renrandra trying the chip and chase. Oh, no, it's Simi Redradra. Redradra's away. Simi Redradra.
Oh, this will be interesting.
Oh, yes, it will, yes.
Simi Renrandra.
Absolutely buried it. Rantrantra.
I mean, it's not really news. It's footy games, but people want to hear
just a quick bounce around for some of the trials that have happened
yes.
so far. Like I said, like Bungard said, we've got the Dogs on later. So let's, for that first trial, that Storm Bulldogs one, we kind of have to start with Ryan Pappenhausen. And I was out there at Belmore.
You were.
On Thursday. On TV, what did it look like to you?
It looked like he was close to being like, I mean, he'll never be as fast as he was again, but it looked as probably as good as it could have looked for a first preseason game from a Storm point of view for Pappenhausen. He was moving really well, getting involved really well, and any of the sort of reservations we had about him not being able to ever get back to what he was beforehand, it's one trial, so you can't. You know, as far as one trial goes, or 40 minutes of a trial, which, how many minutes did he play? 40? But yeah, looked really good. Looked really, really solid.
Yeah, I thought so as well. You could probably, if you guys listen to the Storm preview that we did with M. Spriaster last week, you could probably tell that our expectations for him were pretty reserved just because of the injuries that he has suffered over the last couple of years. And for the first 39 and a half minutes of that trial, I was like, yep, this is kind of what I expected. He looks okay. He's good in structure. He can still pass and chime into the attack and all that. But seeing something like that try, you know, and I know it's not exactly Usain Bolt that he's outpacing to the ball. Like, love Drew Hutchinson, but he's not exactly Mr. Speed Machine. But just sort of seeing Pappenhausen have a little bit of that burst and Melbourne being confident enough to draw up a play that relies on it, I thought that was a really, really good sign. I had a chat to Pappenhausen after the game. The story is up on the ABC website, if you want to go have a read of it. But before that interview kicked off, I was having a yarn with Jake Duke of Fox League, and he made a really good point that I think is really key for how Pappenhausen's going to go this year. And he sort of made the point that when Pappenhausen was at his best, he was having 25, 30 carries a game, a bit like James Tedesco sort of did in his pomp. And he said that probably contributed in some way to him getting as knocked around as he did.
Mm.
You know? So for this season, at least, if he's able to pick his spots a little bit better, don't go into the game expecting that you're going to have 30 carries, maybe only have 12 or 15. But if they're all quality and he does the support play,
yeah,
a little bit more work off the ball, little bit less work as sort of a
doing more with
guy.
Less.
Yeah, I think so.
I think
that's a realistic and smart way for the Storm to use Pappenhausen this season. So, and I got to tell you, man, I think we all wanted to see Paps do well. And seeing him score that try and sort of get that bounce back, it was cool, man. It was exciting.
And the second half rolls around, and the Bulldogs, the young dogs, they're flying all over the field. They're going left and right. Some of those young fellas looked red hot, like Sua, O'Neill. They looked awesome in those
Family
last
club, baby. They're back.
Yeah, a genuine conundrum now. They've got so many halves options. Like, is Matt Burton guaranteed to start the season? Could we see Hutchinson and Sexton together?
We're just asking questions.
We are just asking questions. Oh, the Bulldogs fans are going to hate that. But yeah, they looked really good in the last half hour of this game. Yeah, those young guys looked really hungry. They were flying around the field. Good signs. Bronson Cherry looked pretty good on his return to rugby
big,
league.
Looks big, doesn't he?
Mm. Not touching that.
No, no, like genuinely, like I'm not being a smart ass.
Yeah,
like,
no, he looked very fit.
In 2019, he was just 18 through that whole season. He was still just a kid. Now he's like, you know, he's grown up a little bit. I'm not even talking about his muscles. I'm not just talking about his frame.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, but anyway, not a nice second half showing from the Dogs. They looked pretty good. But yeah, throwing it ahead to Friday night, the All-Stars game. Indigenous getting it done. Latrell Mitchell, captain. Leader, 100% success rate as captain.
Makes you think.
Does.
Has he captained Souths before?
I don't think so.
You should really know that before you start banding around the term 100%.
Yeah. I mean, we've never been big on checking facts.
Yes, we have.
I don't think so. I don't think that's true at all.
This was a really tough performance from the Indigenous side. I thought the kind of game that it turned into, it was like a real slog in the middle of the field. Handling was difficult in the conditions. I would have thought that would really favour the Māori because they sort of had the bigger team and especially the bigger forward pack. But the Indigenous side showed great resolve with their defence. I thought it was a real credit to their coach, Ron Griffiths, who's coached the NRLW Knights side to the last two premierships. He's a reserve grade coach up at the Knights this year. But a team only defends like that if there's a lot of spirit and a lot of trust. And even in a team like that, which sort of has a jump start on those sorts of things because everyone's connecting with their culture and their community and all that, you still need a coach to sort of pull that together. So I was very, very impressed in that regard. We won't spend too much time on this because we've got a lot to get to.
Yeah.
But for the Māori All-Stars, I was super impressed with Xavier Willison. Really, really liked him in the middle of the field. There's a hole at Brisbane that Tom Flegler's left, and there's three or four guys who are all sort of jostling to try and fill it. And there's been, you know, talk about, you know, Fletcher Baker, maybe Marty Tapa'u gets in there. But after this one, man, I've really, really got high expectations for Willison.
He's an interesting guy. He's a guy that, you know, there's been some questions about attitude and stuff. But, yeah, a guy they've got high raps on. And that could be his spot for the taking.
He had a couple of nice games for him off the bench.
He won at Belmore last year.
Yeah,
that was pretty good.
Yes, he did. And he's sort of at that point where it might be time for him to take the next step. But I really liked what he was doing.
Few trials on Saturday. I didn't see much of the first two as I was out at Cogra. But the big story, I think, is the Dom Young neck injury and the Toff Sipley 3-week suspension.
Yeah, I think I don't know if Dom Young's out of hospital, but he had a social post last night saying he was okay. So that's a really good sign. It's always scary when a bloke gets on the stretcher with the neck brace and all that sort of thing.
But this is why, like, people, often fans are like, oh, why are crusher tackles so heavily policed when the bloke just gets up rubbing his neck? This is why. Because when they go really wrong, you can end up with dudes in hospital.
That's right.
Yeah, not good at all. But Manly's hopes of going back to back in the preseason challenge.
Oh, in tatters.
In tatters.
Oh.
And it's heartbreaking. After their emphatic, that's the problem, is they scored all their points last week before they were preseason challenge eligible in that trial against South.
They should know better than that.
They
mate.
Should know
as,
better
as
than
preseason
that.
Challenge powerhouses. Mm. They should be able to. They should know. They should know better than that.
Anything from Knights Sharks?
I actually didn't see a whole lot of this one. Mm. I saw a little bit of the first.
Harry
half,
was going
was
off about
of
William
it.
Price.
Watching the highlights, Will Price kind of is the one. I can't remember if we mentioned him that much.
We talked about him and Kai Pierce-Paul a little bit.
Yeah,
at the end.
I don't know where Will Price fits into that team. Just with, like, I don't know if he's played much centre. Like, I don't know if he can come off the bench for him or whatever. But you know, he's been one of the most highly touted players in England for the last couple of years. And if he keeps doing stuff like that in trials or regis or whatever, it's going to be very, very hard to deny him a spot somewhere in that team.
Then an emphatic win for the Raiders. They fell into an early hole before a try to Stan Semesters sort of got them on the front foot and carried them forward.
Yeah, look, it was very much an understrength Parramatta team. Mm. So I was a Parramatta fan. I wouldn't be panicking too much. But I thought the Raiders looked really fit. I thought they looked really hungry too. Like they were really throwing themselves around.
Maybe there's a player in James Schiller, by the way. That was sick.
Man, like I know I talk about it all the time on the show, and you guys are probably sick of hearing it, but the only reason I keep saying it is true is if a guy gets back-to-back pre-seasons in, it can totally transform what he's like as a player. Like, with due respect to James Schiller, when he made his first grade debut 2 years ago, he would have been flat-out catching that kick, let alone then going the length of the field to score. But he had a great game. I thought he was really strong in defence too, throwing his shoulders around and that. I thought the UFC Fight Pass Yearly and Ethan Strange, I thought they both kind of had their moments. I think they're both definitely...
New listeners are going to be so confused. We're talking about KO Weeks.
KO Weeks.
The bit is streaming service and then unit of time.
Yeah. Yeah, but I thought they both had their moments. I had a yarn to KO Weeks after the game. I'll have a story coming on that in a couple of days. He's a confident fella. says his running game is his best asset, and he was upset with himself that he didn't really get to show it. I'm all in on Strange. I think he's definitely a first grader in some form. Love how straight he plays, how he's always on his toes. So, like, I don't think that battle's decided yet, but regardless of who gets the start, I'd be pretty excited. And I was quite impressed with Chevy Stewart as well.
Yes.
I was maybe
not little... Ricky Stewart's son, who also played, whose last name is...
Yeah.
He looks like Corey Horsburgh on the wing.
He does a little bit, yeah.
I said to Dave, I'm like, who's this Corey Horsburgh like on the wing? He goes, that's Ricky Stewart's son. I was like, oh.
I think he's been taller than Ricky for like 5 years, which is tough. Yeah. But Chevy Stewart, he's still a little bit small, which is fine. He's just a kid. He's still just 18. But he's super, super quick, strong support player. Great sort of sense of like putting blokes into holes and all that. And I had to talk to him too. He's also got a real confidence about him. So... exciting stuff for the Raiders, young fellas.
Yeah, big day for the baby Raiders. Adam Cook gets a try, and then Jarrett Sublew gets a try assist in the next game.
You know, I was hooting and hollering up in the press box when Sublew did that pass. And everyone was like, who was that? Who was that? And I knew straight away. And they were all like, Campo, you're a weirdo. And I was like, no, I just love the baby Raiders. But the baby Raiders at Cogra.
Scene of the
crime. That's their home ground.
Absolutely.
That's the only place they should ever play.
But yeah, look, I know it's a trial, and it's important not to overreact to things, and it's one game and all that stuff, but. Sean Kepi's the best prop in the world.
The Narellan Jet himself.
He was fantastic.
He was good. He's tough, man. He's tough. Like, he's a real... like
really good front on defender. Just runs straight.
It was a nice offload he threw in the lead up to the... Which one?
To the Donny Burns
try. One of the debut Don Burns tries. But Kepi's a real leg breaker. Mm. You know what I mean? He's a real tough.
I was really impressed with him.
Well, you know, in a really strong system under a good coach, maybe he has levels that we have not yet seen.
And I kind of think Souths have missed that. Like they've always had a guy that just like a meat and potatoes guy that just gets through his tackles, runs it straight, bit of a no frills dude. You need a guy like that.
Well,
and they've kind of haven't had it for a couple of years.
I think. Totola's been a really good version of that for them, and I think in an ideal world, Arrow would be in the middle. Arrow's got a bit more flash to his game, but he's still sort of got that toughness to him as well. But maybe Kepi can be a bit of an interesting
Keon on the left got some rave reviews as well. Putting more tickets on him for Clive Churchill Medal in addition to my existing tickets.
Delicious. Saints.
Our friend of the show, Nathan Brooks, who you're about to hear from, who luckily for him, the preview was recorded before.
Yeah, I'm glad we did that.
He called me after the game and said that is one of the lowest games I've ever experienced as a Dragons fan.
Just a trial, but...
Like, that's a full-strength Dragons team against a Souths team missing Latrell, Cody, AJ, Cook, Jack Whiten, and, yeah, not
that's
great.
Rough, man.
Especially in that second half, it felt like Souths were rolling down the field for about 60, 70 metres a set. Every time they felt like it.
Not very charitable.
It wasn't. It wasn't at all. But good night, though. Good crowd for the Shield and for the first. I did love that some Souths fan was sort of, not me, was giving it to the Dragons fans as he was walking up. And I heard a Dragons fan yell out, oh, well done on winning your grand final. And I was like, mate.
Got him.
Come on.
No, I think he won that exchange.
Do you actually?
Yes, I do.
You think it's South's grand final?
Yes.
You think the team that rested half their team treated it as a grand final?
Yes, I do.
And the team that played their full strength
team
didn't.
Well, he said it's the only silverware they've won in years.
That's true. I did say that. I've played myself there. But yeah, the Dragons did not look impressive at all. And I'm really worried about this half situation, man. Like, Kyle Flanagan did not impress me. And there is no pressure whatsoever on him for that jersey.
I'm kind of worried about everything, man.
Didn't look good.
You'll hear a lot more about that later on. Before we get there, we've got a preview.
Brooksy did message me as well. He said, when David Moali scored, he said, is David Moali the first player to run through two different sets of brothers at the same time to score a try? The Couchmans and the Molos. I was like,
that's
you know
tough.
What? Probably.
They got two sets of twins and a father-son.
Yeah.
Two sets of twins, a set of brothers,
and a
father-son team.
Crazy.
On that team.
The family club.
Yeah, but from one family club to the other.
And joining us, right, what a perfect segue.
We were there, we knew that, we had that in sync,
ready
perfect
to rumble.
Sync. The government's going to send us off to fight the kaiju after that.
Absolutely. Neil Desmond from Channel 9, huge Bulldogs fan, welcome.
Thanks, boys, well done. Very well played on that one.
Mate, what's doing?
Sitting through.
you were gesturing aggressively when the Latrell captain chat was happening. So he has captained before?
I think he's captained before.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
Yeah, he's run him out before. I've seen it.
Okay. Why are you afraid of
four Souths?
Why are you afraid of the truth, Bertrand?
We probably won that game. We win when he plays, usually. He just doesn't play that
I actually
often.
Think they did win that game. Yeah. I couldn't tell you what it was, but he did. I remember leading him out. Campo, I remember these things.
I don't doubt that you do, mate.
Yep.
What's going on, boys? You guys all right?
Oh, mate, nothing. Just hanging out, talking footy. What could be better?
Look, I wasn't ready for the footy season, but now it's here I am.
I think, like, I was a bit the same, but I think once you go to that first game,
yeah,
and all the, you blow that whistle, ref, and all that shit.
Send that ball
the,
flying.
Yeah, and the blood starts pumping. I'm back now.
Although
I'm
I will ready. Say, my first beer of the footy season was at the Leagues Club out of a plastic cup. That's not a...
Oh, that was at the Leagues Club?
Yeah. What has happened to the game? That's not rugby league.
Why did we even fight in a war?
I don't know. We used to be a real country. We used to build things. But I now thought... we're not building glasses anymore, apparently.
Didn't realise Reg Reagan joined the podcast.
Yeah. Fucking hell. Yeah, it was outrageous. I was like, not a good tone setter. But,
no, not at all.
Full strength cans at the ground.
Okay, that's better. That's better.
Bring it back. Yeah, there you go. They always treat you well in the end, Bunga.
Indeed. But yeah, mate, so if people don't know, Neil is, it does some of the amazing work that you will see on your TV screen every week throughout the rugby league season for Channel 9. Doesn't usually get the credit. He's always the shadowy league figure behind the scenes, but... we're now getting into the pointy end of things, mate. You've got to go do a shoot after this. You're all over Sydney and the greater Australian area in the next few weeks. You're all over the place. How busy are you in the next few weeks?
It's been a good little summer on the back of the tennis. So we did a bit down there, into the league. So as we do at this time of year, we do the ring at Randwick, I get to see all the players up close and personal, and you know, get the hands on them, and you can kind of tell your boys
get your hands on them.
Well, that's where I get to pick. I like to pick my premiership favourites in that moment. I said how they look, how they feel, their attitudes, but we're in Vegas soon, Bunga. You and I
very excited.
Not together, obviously.
Well, no, are we not sharing a room?
No, I might call you.
Okay, thanks.
It depends if roaming's on. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Wow,
you know what it's like overseas, man. It ain't easy.
But no, yeah, it's a busy time, Matt. But man, it's good. It's good. We're ready to go. Now you bite down white knuckle until October, but we're fired up.
That's it. Mm. So you see all the guys at the shoots and all that sort of thing. When you saw Canterbury, when you saw the boys there, what was your impression? What do you sort of make of this very much new look squad that's had a lot of turnover over the offseason?
Very new look. Like, obviously the articles come out, the 2021 side's gone, and I remember that side vividly, as I do every doggy side of my life. Not quite 04, but... Look, they look new, they look fresh, but they look energised. I think that's the biggest thing I saw. And Stephen Crichton leads that. Critter was there, and he literally, it's like he strolled straight down the M4 from Penrith into Belmore, and he's got the big JBL speaker. He's the exact same, you know, flamboyant, charismatic, really loud and energetic player that he was at Penrith, but he's doing it in the blue and white. And that's what I saw. And I think, you know, Jerome Luai and all these guys got all the rats, but the big energy guy at Penrith for all those years was Critter, you know, and he brought it all, and he represented all of that, you know, that arrogance, whatever that was that Penrith was about, but obviously it was all on the field that they perform, and now he's doing it here, and that's what I saw, and I think he could be the figure that leads them to a bit of success. If they get behind him and their structures work and all of that kind of falls their way, I think they could see some good things on the back of him.
Where do you want him to play?
I want him to play centre. Now, I only say that because he is one of the best centres in the world right now. I just don't think at the moment you can take him out of that because of what he did in that grand final and what he's done at rep level. Mm. I think you can throw him in that back line where he'll be our strongest centre. You know, so let's not try and, you know, move into fullback, experiment. If he's the best centre we've got, play him at centre. And then we've got a whole bunch of players that can work around him and get him ball, and we can hopefully move the ball forward.
If you play center, you can have each of your eight utilities play 10 minutes of fullback each.
Well, that's where we're heading into. I know we're going into the U chat. We didn't want to, you know, we want to get straight into that. But obviously, we've got all these guys that can play a lot of positions. But I think the best thing is, Campo and Matt, sorry, I'll bring you into it as well. it's three of us chatting here today. Is that they all bring something different, though, Bungard, which I love.
So Canterbury had a full squad media op in December, right? And it's the first chance that you sort of got to talk to a lot of the guys in the preseason. And I talked to a few of the utilities, just trying to get a sense of why the hell the Bulldogs had signed so many utilities. And the basic idea is they're trying to change the way they train every day, right? So if you have to play a bunch of different positions all the time, like Kurt Mann does, or like Salmon does, or even like Drew Hutch does, you know, he plays hooker, halves, and centre, you have to be in really, really good nick to do that. So the idea was, is if you bring in guys who have those sorts of habits with their training, everyone then trains better. And it explained to me like that, and I was like, yeah, I kind of get it, but then also you've got a lot of blokes who have never really been able to lock down a position, and all of a sudden you're relying on all of them to lock down positions. So I didn't like that as much. Bertrand, you hate the Bulldogs and everything about them.
That is true.
We've been optimistic here. Give us the cynical view. Give us the haters' standpoint.
Well, I mean, I just don't really understand why people are getting so excited about this. Like, yes, Stephen Crichton is a fantastic player, but there's not really a whole lot to love in the forward pack. I don't think that, like, they've really figured out this fullback situation at all. I think there's still huge question marks over the halves. I still maintain that Matt Burton's best position is centre. And I will die on that hill, but he'll be playing 5/8, and Stephen Crichton, who they spent $1 million on or however much it was, with the promise of playing fullback, probably won't be playing fullback. And instead, you're going to rotate between a cast of characters who, as you just said, all struggle to hold down first grade positions. I don't really think it's a recipe for success. And again, my main problem with the Bulldogs has been their forward pack. And not only did they not really bring anyone in to strengthen up that middle, they lost Luke Thompson as well, who, when he was on the field, I thought was probably their best middle over the last couple of years. So yeah, there's been some nice flashy signs, and I honestly thought they played really well in that trial game on Thursday night, but the things that were weaknesses for the Bulldogs last year, I think, are still weaknesses now, and they didn't do enough to fix those.
Yeah, look, I think that's a fair point. I think the thing with getting Crichton was, I don't think it was necessarily about playing fullback, I think it was getting a fullback's money, and he's got that now. So I don't see him cracking the shits or whatever he does playing the centers. I wouldn't mind seeing him at fullback. I think he can make that transition. But I take your point, Neil, that, like, you know, if he's your best player, play him in his best position. I think Burton is a really good center, but I think unless you're a club like Penrith or Brisbane or Souths, who have great infrastructure and really capable halves around him, you can't afford to do that. He can do too many things to just be stuck out in the centres all the time. My fear, as a big Burton fan, is that he kind of ends up in a similar situation to Jack Whiten, right? So Jack Whiten, Clive Churchill medal winner, Dalian, did a lot of stuff in his career. But you guys have heard me say it 1,000 times. I hated how he would just sort of stand out there on the left side of the field, wouldn't play both sides, just wouldn't get as involved as you would want a player of that calibre to get involved. And that's what I fear with Burton. I fear that in trying to simplify the game for him, in trying to make him just a runner down that left side, they're not using the full extent of his talents.
Well, you've seen over the years that they've tried to develop him on the run. So they put the 7 on his back so he could take control of the game. I didn't like it either.
It's my favourite thing in the world, though. It's honestly one of my favourite rugby league tropes is switching the 6 and the 7 to give him more control.
I think they'll genuinely do it because of what you were saying, Campo. Don't be a runner on the left. Take control of this game. So if he can find a halves partner where they can either link up or at least play left and right side of the ruck and both have control of the game, that's where we'll see the best.
What do you want them to do with that? Like, they've got Drew Hutch now. Sexton had some okay games for them when he arrived mid-season last year. Some of those young blokes looked pretty handy the other night. What do you want them to do?
I actually like Drew Hutchison. I think what Hutch can bring is he's just got some layers to his game, some strings to his bow, right? So he's got a good running game, pretty good kicking game, and if he can help control that game and get the guys in good ball. See, right now we've finally got a bit of a back line where we can get early ball to these guys. You know, it used to be, how can Birdo give the ball to Adokar? And that's what we try to unlock, and we didn't have the go forward, which we may still struggle with. But at least now you've got a few guys where we can get them over the ball, and at least he can march them around the park. Sexton's proven that he can do it at first grade. You know, he can start there and he can have a formidable game. But I think Hutch can bring a bit more. And I like Blake Tarr. I mean, you're bagging the same. We've got no fullbacks, mate. Your South's favourite son, Blake Tarr.
Grand finalist, Blake Tarr.
How did he play in that grand final at fullback?
He definitely played in that grand final. That's for true.
He wore number one.
How many grand finals has Latrell Mitchell played at fullback?
That's
There you go.
I vividly
you know the answer to that one, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Less than his captain's house.
Yeah, great. I vividly remember them like bombing poor Blake Torf to high hell in that game. And
well, it was his seventh NRL game.
No, I'm not. I love Blake Torf.
No, we're just mucking around.
And I think he's a dynamic ball runner when he's got the ball. It's still crazy to me that he's never really got a proper chance in the halves. Maybe he'll get that at the Bulldogs some point this year, because I do think that's his best position, just purely because I just don't think he's tall.
He has said that he's played fullback his whole life, though. Fullback has been his position.
Yeah, but like,
this is the position he wants to play.
Things change. Like, when you're just, we see this all the time in sports, though. Like, when you're just better than everyone else, the rest of that shit doesn't really matter. Like when you're playing juniors, you're just better. You can do everything. But yeah, when you get to the top grade, I mean, he wasn't, you know, they weren't Nathan Cleary's out there bombing him when he was playing fullback as a 16-year-old, for example. And I think that's the problem. But if he believes that he can play fullback, I believe in him. I've seen it, though. I've seen it for like half a season at South, though. And I feel like that he's got a lot of... I think he's absolutely a first-grade footballer. He's got a lot of talent. He's really good with the ball in hand. That try he scored against the Bulldogs last year, remember that crazy 36-30 game?
He had a blinder that night.
He was fantastic.
He looked good.
But, yeah, I just think that it's kind of like exactly how I thought about Joey Gray in the Shield last night. It's like, you are awesome at everything else, but like if you were 6 inches taller, you would be unbelievable. But... we can't Bart Simpson him.
I was just going to say, he was like a short man. We found our new fallout boy. Yeah. That's what I'd be saying if you were half an inch taller.
Yeah, unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. But yeah, he is a fantastic player, and I have no doubt that he'll be great for the Bulldogs.
What just back to what you were saying, Neil. What I'd like to see with the halves is, regardless if it's Hutch or Sexton, have whoever it is and Burton following each other around, linking up all the time. Like Burton can do some organising, but for me, the most important thing for him is getting the ball at second receiver. And so Sexton or Hutch digs into the line and then just gives Burton a lot of space and a lot of options.
We're a bunch of old schoolers here. I love first and second receiver.
Yeah.
I want your genuine seven playing first and Burton running off the back of that. Mm. Hitting his outside, his center three quarters. Oh, bring that back.
The scrum half to the standoff to the center three quarter.
I would love that. I would love my wingers just looping around, changing.
And it... maybe an inside centre and an outside centre, not left and right.
That's why I was laughing when they talk about centre partnerships. It was like, they're so far away from each other.
I know. Old habits die hard, though.
I would love an inside-outside centre. Right. And but on that, if Crichton's playing, it all depends on how we can unlock this. And like I said, off the top, the structures and what Ciro wants to do with his side. Because Crichton's got that ability, he could roam the field. He could pop up anywhere, which could help the likes of Taff almost set
I don't mind that.
Yeah,
to be honest.
No, I do like the sound of that. I do like the sound of that. What I don't like the sound of is the forward pack.
Yes,
Bert touched on it before. It was troubling last year. Tevita Pangai Jr. didn't kick on the way his many boosters, including me at the time, would have hoped.
Mm.
They haven't. They've added so many players this year, but there's not a lot of. They haven't added a lot of beef. They haven't added a lot of muscle. So talk to me about the forwards, because I think that's the big question mark that everybody has over this side.
That does worry me. Mm. Back rollers were feeling okay. You got kicks, if he's healthy, plays a lot on the left side. Jacob Preston could just go on and on with it now, I think, in his career. He could even push for a blue jersey, you know. Oh, big call, Bertrand.
A mustard and blue of City origin.
Of course. Of course.
Well, there's...
Jacob Preston playing for City, I would fucking love that.
I heard that last year...
I would pick him for City last year.
Last year there was a talk of, hey, maybe he comes into camp, but someone said, not yet.
Wow. You heard it first.
Yeah. So, but who knows? He's only young. He's only like 21, going on 22.
He's
so,
had a great season.
But he'll be
great.
Did he win
your player of the year last year?
He did, and he was my NRL rookie of the year, but robbed because of a suspension with a... I don't want to go into it. It was a little...
It's all politics.
It's all politics. He was my rookie of the year, but yeah, he was a player's player. So I think he'll be great on an edge. Josh Curran, I think, is a great buy.
Yep.
We're talking back rowers here. Jamin Salmon has that ability. He trotted out at lock at the trial on Thursday night. And actually makes a bit of sense playing him at the back of the scrum there, because he's a genuine half growing up, has matured into a bigger body. So he'll play that little link in forward. But it's our big guys where we may struggle. We've got Max King. You know what you're going to get. He's going to pull the socks up. And he's just going to go and trot it up the field. You got Liam Knight, who on his day, if he's not injured, he can actually get some yardage for you.
He was really bad on Thursday.
Not one of his great nights.
He's Liam Burgess, right? And not good, consistent Tom Burgess. Like crazy George Burgess, who drops the ball a lot and all that sort of stuff. Max King is an interesting one. Before last season, I had him pegged as the most underrated player in the competition. He very quietly turned into an extremely productive front row forward. I think he averaged in 2022, I think he averaged only 150 metres a game.
It's quite good.
It's really, really impressive. Then I thought last year there was a fair bit of regression. I was actually really disappointed in the way he played. I found out only a couple of weeks ago from friend of the show, NRL Physio, that King had some like plantar fasciitis in his feet. Don't know what it is. Sounds painful.
It is.
It's meant to keep you out for...
like a lot of runners get this.
Yeah.
And you just can't do anything.
Well, he only missed a week. He kept
playing.
That's
so impressive.
He carried it through the whole season. So that made me reassess my criticism of Max King last year. I was like, wow, well, knowing that, it's impressive that he was just on the field. So maybe if he can get back to his 2022 levels, that'll go a long, long way to giving the Bulldogs at least a bit of respectability in that pack.
Definitely. But, you know, there's no question around that. Like, we're short. We're short up front. Yep. You know, that Samuel Hughes had a great game on Thursday. He was quite productive. He had a bit of a run last year. Looked all right. Big body. Big lump of a thing. He could go okay.
Could you tell the difference between Harrison Edwards and Sam Hughes?
Definitely not. I was having a chat with a mate yesterday.
Gundy ahead.
And I didn't know. And yep. I thought, they're both pretty good with their hands. They're both big kids. Moving forward, they look exactly the same.
We need to get back to them. We need to get back to two identical guys in the same forward. Like, yeah. My halcyon days of Luke Lewis and Nathan Smith next to each other in that Penrith team.
What a dream.
Oh,
what a dream.
Bring it back.
A couple of Supercoach legends back in the day. Nathan Smith was one. I remember him.
Luke Lewis, just a legend generally.
Of everything.
Yeah,
have you seen the size category of Luke Lewis at the moment?
He is looking fucking fit, dude.
Like, Good for him. Good for you, Luke.
It was like a New South Wales Cup thing last year. And he looks like he's still playing, but he's just bulked up.
Yeah, when he's 16.
Massive,
we have to do this properly as a standalone episode this year, but when me and Camper were kind of loosely spitballing our top 15 of the NRL era, he was right on the bubble. He was right there, Luke Lewis. It was right
100% approval rating. Mm. If someone said, yeah, I don't rate Luke Lewis.
Or Luke Lewis, I'd be like, get out of here.
I'd be like, well, I fucking hate you.
I don't care to know you.
Yeah, get out of here.
Probably a victim of the sides he was in, losing New South Wales sides, only really got success at Cronulla at the back end.
Won two comps, though.
I did win two comps.
Two comps, 13 years
13
apart.
Years, you love that.
Great stat.
You love that.
Love that.
Love that. And my favourite is actually the blonde-haired winger in the 03 grand final, Luke Lewis. That's
I remember the Lukes. Luke Rooney. The Lukes. Yes. Just doing it.
They hated each other that year, you know?
Did they?
Yeah, they had like this crazy rivalry going on.
Oh,
when Luke Rooney scores the first try of the
game. Like co-drivers in an F1 team.
A little bit, yeah. But when Luke Rooney scores the first... Because there was a yarn about this in Rugby League Week thousands of years ago that I've just always remembered. When Luke Rooney scores the first try of the game and everyone runs over to mob him, he points at Luke Lewis and says, fuck you. You can go back
we
and
watch that up.
And
then, as soon as we finish recording,
they hug each other. It's great.
I love that.
And then, like, because they were both going for the same spot the year before, right? So there was a real rivalry there. And then after that, they became really close mates.
I'm glad.
But
they were
it was a real I did too. But
they
it was like
Origin together.
Yeah, yeah. But they were real. They were really.
So we're talking. It was shake and bake into Magic Man El Diablo type stuff.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Oh my
Neil.
God! Right,
which one's the Magic Man? Which one's El Diablo?
I think Luke Lewis has to be the Magic Man, and Luke Rooney has to be El Diablo.
Okay, I like that.
I agree with that. But we're pulling this up before we leave.
Yeah, that's it. I'm telling you, man.
Yep. Back the Bulldogs, though.
Yeah, on the Doggies.
If you told me Luke Lewis was on the coaching staff this year...
I'd feel a lot better about it.
I would feel a lot better.
Well, I mean, you got, Farmer Steele's come over. You know, yep. So he's had a bit of success at the Roosters in the past. He's jumped around a little bit. Hopefully finds a bit of a home.
I liked him on Thursday. Guys, he was throwing himself around.
It's about getting minutes. It's about getting these guys on the field, doing a job, and marching that forward, because I think finally you can look at the Dogs' back line and say, hey, they've got a bit about them, and their edges are strong. So, yeah, it's a hard one, because every single pundit will tell you, hey, they got no forwards, they can't win, which history will tell you can't win without a good forward pack, is the big size will just roll you and you've got nothing. However, I just think if they can get some guys that they maybe can unearth a few bodies that, you know, can get that 150 yards a game. Yards, meters, sorry guys.
Yards. He's in Vegas.
I'm about to go there. Yeah, Sin City, baby. So, look, I think that's where we can potentially unlock some guys to come through. And then, yeah, there's some exciting guys that might be able to push for wing spots. Like, I love Habibi Jacob Carraz.
The
big white hush. His running style. And I've heard reports that he's changed his running style. And
what?
He's streamlined it.
Oh,
you can't coach the white hush
like
out of this kid, all right?
I don't like this.
What makes him what he is he's a maniac, okay? He's crazy. True. And you're going to all elbows and knees.
You know what?
Okay?
You know, if they change his running style, you know what that is? That's gentrification.
And we don't stand for that.
Yeah, no way.
It's like taking the Manus shops out of Bankstown. Yeah, what are we doing?
Like it,
we don't stand for that in Bankstown. I'll tell you that much for free.
We got a saying for this back in Bankstown. Yeah.
He is a Barella local. Still lives there now with the family. That's love that.
Shout out to the Barella Bears.
One of the great blokes.
One of the great clubs too, the Barella Bears. There's a few lads trotting around at the moment from Barella.
How bad would a club...
Matt Utah was a Barella Bear, wasn't he?
He was. Happy Coruscant.
How bad would a club have to be for them to not get in the one of the great clubs conversation?
It's true. Unless we had a personal bit. Like, who do you hate again in Group 6? I forget.
Everyone.
There you go.
Everyone.
So, in Group 6, if you're not the Camden Rams...
Narelle and Jets, Warragamba Wombats, they were the worst. The Oaks, Tigers, Picton, Magpies, Roberts and Spuddies, all of them. Hate all of them.
Fuck off.
Unless one of them makes it to the NRL, and then it's like, wow, it's group six.
Yeah, like, you got to stick together.
Kepi's a good example of that, eh?
So Kepi's
pup's age, he always played against him and all that. They know each other a little bit. And like when they played each other, like, oh, man, Kepi, you got to get after Kepi, you got to get after him. And then he made it to Manly, and I was like, Kepi, so proud of him, mate. Just representing the MacArthur area.
Group six man will never let you down.
Every area you're from is the same deal. It was a couple of Southwest kids here, Bungan and I.
Correct.
You go, oh, banks down this, banks down that. All of a sudden, someone makes a big stage. He's my mate. I've known him my entire life.
Yeah.
I spoke at his christening.
Oh, we did. It was mate, the Cook Islands christening at the Belmore. Mate,
when Casey Donovan show. Made the final of Australian Idol, the city of Bankstown
huge.
Came together.
Can I tell you a story?
Yes.
Yes, you can.
So she went to Connell Park High.
Correct.
And that night, she was at Bankstown Sports Club, and she just ripped in for days at Sporties. And she told the crew, what are you excited about tonight? I just can't wait to have a drink and smoke 20 cigarettes, she was talking about.
Fuck yeah.
And she's so good. Years later, I'm talking mid-2010s, 2015 maybe. Remember the social dating site Bumble?
Yes.
I hope you don't, Bungard.
I know what it is. I'm not like a moron.
Anyway, swiping away on there of Coles down, prices are down fame, Casey Donovan. We swiped together. We're on.
And then what happened?
Had like two chats and then me, didn't respond because I forgot and away it went. So
I did serve Casey, I did serve in the drive-thru at the McDonald's once at Reesby.
Yeah, so, mate.
A tale of
the
lost love.
The big three, oh, you know. The big three in the drive-thru, Jamin Lowe, Brett Hodgson and Casey Donovan.
It's
so,
we're so
Neil,
proud, aren't we?
Neil, I'm sorry, that's only the second best matching with a singer on a dating app story I've ever heard. The best ever is a former guest of the show, who I'll tell you about after, he matched with Montaigne on Hinge.
Wow.
Massive, eh?
Yeah, of Hilltop Hood's 1955.
The very same.
I like that. That's good stuff. And how'd they go?
I think they chatted for a bit. I don't think a date ever happened. Oh, which, yeah. Heartbreaking, but still.
I regret that now. Anyway, here we go.
any young guns from the Dogs that could make an impact this
year? You know what I liked on Thursday night? The bloke on the wing, Skelton.
Jarrell Skelton. He was going to be my pick. Yeah, I really liked
him. He did
him.
Look good. And to me, I was like, okay, this kid, if he gets a shot, hard to break in there because you got handsome Blake Wilson. Mm. You seen Blake without a headgear, Bungard?
Well, I'll tell you something for Freebird. He's pretty handsome.
Mm. You got Reed Contact Marnie, handsome Blake Wilson. But, of course, the big Wahas, Jacob Carras, is there to start. You know what? I mean, is he a young gun? But I'm really excited to see Bronson Cherry play. You know?
Yeah, it's been a while.
I wasn't alone 2 years ago. Uncle Gus signs him, so you think, okay, don't know about this kid. Is he going to be back? He looked all right on the weekend, and it was early days. You know, we're talking about who we bring along to these shoots, and usually it's the top 13, and I left him off the list, and then all of a sudden, last minute, they actually put him in there.
Get him in.
So I just didn't think he would be in the top 20, but he's looking all right. But there's a kid, Jordan Samrani, you know, a young Wahash. I love anyone of Middle Eastern background who plays
the Dogs.
The Dogs
always have to have one.
Well, we've got one now with Kraz. And this kid, he kind of is gone back door. He came up through the Shark system. Now he's back at the Doggies. And he was years ago watching those, you know, Josh Reynolds dog sides, you know, with beaten drums and Belmore on Bellwood Road, Belmore. And now he had a bit of a run the other night. He looks good. He's a big old lump. I think he grew up centre, back row. He's going to be a back rower. He could find a way on the bench. I know, not that we need any more bench back rowers, but I just think he's a young guy that might make a bit of a splash. I hope. Well, I hope he gets some footy anyway, because I think I want to see some Manyuks and some Habibis given a go.
Totally fair.
I am quite a fan of Jarrell Skelton. I know his defense probably isn't quite there yet, but I thought in the couple of games he played last year, I think he's clearly got something. Still working it out.
He's shown it for a couple of years, hasn't he, Campo?
Yeah, well, he runs the ball really well. He's a tackle buster. He was at the Melbourne Rebels before he came to Canterbury. So I had a chat to him on Friday. He's always played league and union at the same time, but just sort of getting to the elite level league stuff is taking a little bit. He's probably some defensive issues that he's got to clean up, but I like him, man. I think he's a little bit similar in style to the big Wahash himself. So we all just got to learn a little bit of Samoan, and then we can think of a name for Jarrell Skelton.
That's fair. Where you got him on the ladder?
So one of my biggest queries with the Dogs, apart from the forward pack, is I think the jury is very much out on Cameron Seraldo. Mm. I thought it was really troubling last year how many blokes, not only how many blokes didn't improve, but how many blokes went backwards from the year before.
Yep.
And I thought the first 6 weeks of the competition, and they were okay. There were some all right signs. And then things got really, really bad. And then for the last sort of 6 weeks of the season, they were a team that looked pretty checked out. And I thought that was really, really disappointing for a coach.
That wrestling story was super weird.
Yeah, very strange. And for a coach who's had as many raps as Seraldo, I thought that was pretty... That was pretty troubling.
Mm. So where you got them?
I have them in 15th place.
Wow, there you go. You already picked Manly to finish 15th.
Place. That was my mistake. Yeah, I got them 16th.
If I'd made these picks before the trials that we watched on Thursday and Saturday, I'd probably flip these two teams around and put the Dragons last. But I got the Dogs last. So,
but that's, I don't mind that though, because you hate the Dogs.
That is based on hatred,
and you always have. Else. So if you're just listening to your hatred, I always think that's a good Thank way you. To go in the preseason.
What do you think, Neil?
So you're saying trust your gut if you hate anything, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Look, I just think, I've done this potty with you guys the last few years, and it was that first year, I was like, oh, we're not going to be there yet, but we'll work towards the eight. Last year, I was full of optimism. Just I thought, here we go. Zero's there, we're all here. This year, I think it might take a little bit longer for us to get to the eight, and, you know, I hate rebuilds, I hate all that, but I just think now we've finally got the cattle that the coach wants, that I think we can move forward with. Mm. Obviously, still need to develop some forwards, some middle forwards in particular. I don't think the eight's there. I said it to the boys on the way out. I said, just get to the eight. And Critter goes to me, what do you mean the eight? We're winning the whole thing.
I like that.
I love that.
Well, you got to say that. You got to say it.
And I didn't have the heart to tell him, I'm just not there with you. But I like that. I want to see the Dogs come 10th.
Okay.
I want to be there and just go, hey, that was something that we're proud of.
You want them to be in the fight for the eight.
Be in the fight. And I think that's
what
the side...
Give you something to believe in those cold winter months.
Yeah, and that's what the side's about, I think. You know, as controversial as last year may have been with different things going on with the training stuff, you know, I think now picking the side they like is going to be all about fight, and it's all about character. Stuff you talked about these boys who have trained hard and worked hard their whole lives. I think that's what you might get. You know, you might not get points, and there might be a couple of blowouts, but I think they're going to be in the fight for most of it.
And you get 3 slots on the roulette wheel to be the team of the show, and if you win, I will quit podcasting. So you can pick any number that is not already taken.
To ensure 100%.
Well, Neil will be there.
I was going to say, we'll have Neil there
when I do
as a witness.
That way I can't cheat.
When Bungard spins the wheel.
Yeah, because I would never trust you.
The wheel decides.
We're filming it, so it's not like I can cheat.
Still wouldn't trust you.
That's all right.
AI technology.
Okay, can I go 3?
Yep.
Did you say 3 slots?
Yeah, you can have 3 numbers. You can 3 have
numbers?
3, yep.
I want
3
some
for every, one 33? For every game you're going to win this year. Yep, good.
Magic Johnson, Michigan State.
Yep, nice.
Not Larry Bird.
Okay. Oh, wow. And you can have one more.
And give me... Is Matt Farrelly doing this thing?
He'll be there. You mean Grayson Waller? Please don't.
Sorry.
Please
don't. Is Grayson doing this? I'm going to take Grayson's number 21.
I like that.
Sucked in. Don't live in the States.
The 21st century success story.
Right, he is the only person that hates the Bulldogs as much as I do. So, yeah. All right. Neil, anything to promote before we get out of here?
Watch Channel 9,
still the one.
Something.
I think of anyone ever promoting anything on here, the easiest sell ever is Neil saying, watch the footy.
Just watch the footy. Just enjoy it. You don't need to watch what I do. I don't really care, but just enjoy something.
All right. Thank you very much, Neil. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Neil.
Thanks, boys.
And joining us now, we're actually going back in time. This was recorded before the charity show, which is kind of unfortunate because it does involve the St. George Illawarra Dragons. And joining us now, in his gorgeous New South Wales Rugby League Illawarra Steelers jersey, Nathan Brooks from SEN, welcome.
Gents, thanks for having me back. Speaking of going back in time, I did listen back to the potty from last year. Jeez, we were optimistic.
Well, Brooksy, the Dragons one we did with you last year was actually one of my favourites. And Lord knows it wasn't because I was excited about the Dragons season, because I don't think anybody was. But you were so optimistic. You were so, for a team that like not a lot of people had high hopes for, you were really chipper, you were really keen, you were like, yeah, let's get the young fellas in there, see what we can do. Let's just go out there and have a great season. I came away from it thinking, man, Brooks has got it all figured out. And then like the season maybe didn't go as well as you hoped.
No, it didn't. 5 wins, worst ever season in the merger history. It was like 1989 Steelers all over again. And it was just, It was devastating. We lost Hook.
That was hard for all of us, man.
Yeah, it was, writing was on the wall, wasn't it? And then Ryan Carr came in, and it was like, oh, you got to win. From where I was this time last year to living it week to week, enjoying the 6 points we got for buys. So we nearly got as many points for buys as we did for wins last year, which was great. But yeah, it was diabolical, wasn't it? It's good that that's in the rearview mirror, but this season ahead, it's going to be hard to be optimistic again for this body.
Well, I was going to see if you could front up again, if you could at least put on a brave face and think of a couple of things to be excited about for the Dragons this year, because I don't think it's any secret they're a popular pick to prop up the rest of the ladder. I don't think there's a lot of expectations for what's going on out there, but new coach in Shane Flanagan, I think we all like that as a move. So before we get into the stuff that we don't like, because there's going to be a fair bit of that, what's some stuff that you do like about Saints for this year? What's some stuff that you're a bit excited about?
Okay, let's go. Like 23, I thought what was real, like, amazing, and we sort of touched on it, was how Sully and Ravalawa played well at the back end of 22. But McKaylee, defense not so good, but 21 tries last year was a bit of an offensive beacon for us. Like, to have someone scoring that many tries in a team that had 5 wins was great. He missed a couple of games where Tau Tau Monga got 5 tries on his wing. So he could have well and truly taken the try-scoring title. But, yeah, I think there was a couple of debuts. The youth is a strength of the Dragons. So obviously, we've got St. George, we've got Wollongong, we've got the South Coast. We saw some of the young guys coming through. I thought the Couchman twins, mainly Toby, performed well, and you can see them being the future of the side. And that's something that I think Dragons fans have got that some clubs don't. They've got this talent pool, and hopefully unearthing a few players every year is a positive. I thought they were good. We saw a couple of other young guys come through. Finau got his debut against the Warriors over in New Zealand, but suffered an injury, so we didn't see him again. We got Connor Malyson come in at the back end of the year when Mbai moved on. Another junior, we've seen Dylan Egan. He did well in the preseason, playing well in Reggie's. He's been given an opportunity this year. So there's a few youngsters coming through, which is great. But as a whole, it's tough. It's really tough to look at last year and see some positive. Lowest crowds, lowest members. Like, how's this? Like, I look back 2018, that year we won our only finals since Wayne Bennett, 22,000 members. We're down to 13. We're averaging 11. Yeah, 11,000 in our crowds. Look, if we get Anzac Day, that adds another like 3,000 to the average. Still not that good.
Could be worse. I mean, it's at least your best player isn't like publicly agitating to leave and has been for the past 18 months or something.
Wait. Ooh. I'm being handed a note.
Yeah.
Well, that was going to be one of my positives too. The guy that wanted to leave is actually going to stay, which is some sort of weird positive that you can sort of hook your hat on. Another positive was Jackson Ford last year. Oh, that's right. He went to the Warriors and killed it. the juniors are playing really well in other places. But yeah, you look at the season we had. 5 wins. One was at the death against the Roosters. There was another one against South, your boys, Bungers, but very much a depleted Rabbitohs.
The most depleted team I have ever seen in my life.
And we knocked over the Tigers late in the season to pretty much...
That Roosters win was sick, to be fair. That Roosters win was awesome.
Yeah, but if you go back through that game, there was Victor Radley on report. There was a bit of niggle in the game. The Roosters lost their head and pretty much had an opportunity to win that. But, yeah, we snagged it at the end in the 80th minute. And there's 3 wins there, guys, that could have gone the other way. Yes, we did have some close losses throughout the season. There were some good moments. But, yeah, I think there's been a lot of negativity around the Dragons leading into the season. Let's go through. Look, let's go through the gains and losses. I'm going to go through the gains for us. And this was something that's been, I think, contentious the last few years. The recruitment at the Dragons, they went for those veterans, those one-year
Moneyball, they famously called it. Signing washed-up guys for a lot of money is what Moneyball is, apparently.
Works in baseball, but I don't know about the NRL. But, yeah, Jesse, okay, no, but let me wait on Jesse Marschke because there's a big story.
We
got to
save
him.
We got to save Jesse Marschke.
So, yeah, how good's that? You're saving Jesse Marschke. But we brought in Flano Jr., Kyle Flanagan. There's some positives there. I think there could be a decent halves combo for Hunt and Flano together. We had Shane Flanagan on Joel and Fletch a couple of weeks ago, and he spun a nice narrative of how much Flano's going to take off Ben Hunt. And instead of him get out of the way and give it to Ben, he's going to take a bit more control, which Junior Amone, I believe, didn't and was a bit standoffish and sort of didn't really command the ball as much as he should have. And it was very much Ben Hunt running everything. So there's a positive there. Tom Eisenhuth, we got from the Storm. We got Corey Allen and Ronald Volkman.
Oh, wait. I'm being handed a second note.
Corey did his knee, unfortunately, in preseason training. And Ronald Volkman, that's a podcast in itself, that whole seven-day period. Unfortunately, will not be at the club due to a shoulder injury, which leads me to the signing of Jesse Marschke, a New South Wales Cup Player of the Year. 26-year-old, should be a good addition to the squad. And we have probably our best signing, though. I've left him for last. Oh, not last. Second last. Hame Sele, Bungers.
Good player last year.
Coming home.
What a homecoming.
We got a junior back. and Raymond Faitala Mariner. Interesting story, leaving Belmore and coming to the Dragons. So that is the Dragons 2024 recruitment. I don't know what to say about that other than it's a mess. And can you guys give me something to be positive about that?
Yeah.
Hame Sele, how was his time?
He was genuinely quite a good rotation player last year. I will say, I went back and looked at Cronulla's record with Shane Flanagan. And you throw 2014 out because obviously he was suspended and everything completely went to shit with all the Asada stuff. But he comes into the back end of 2010. His first full season is 2011, and they steadily improve. Like in 2011, they win 7 games. 2012, they win 12 games. 2013, they win 14 games. Comes back in 15, they win 15 games. 2016, 20 games, win the comp. And then his last two seasons, they have a fairly solid 15 and 10 and 17 and 10 records as well. So he was a guy that came into a club that was probably at a similarly low ebb, if not maybe a little bit higher than the Dragons are right now. And it took some time to turn it around. But I think by the end of his tenure, say what you will about him in terms of character or any of that stuff with the cheating and all that stuff. But in terms of actually getting results, you can't argue with what he did at Cronulla. And it might take a couple of years. I was excited for you and for other Dragons fans when they got Flanagan because we all remember what he did at Cronulla. But maybe it won't be this year. But as long as he sows some seeds for the future. And I think that getting him did play a part in why Ben Hunt wanted to stay in the first place. So there are positives. There are definitely positives, and there are definitely things you can look forward to going forward. You talked about some of those juniors as well. I just don't know if you're going to reap the rewards of any of that stuff this year. That's my thing.
Bungard, towards the end of last year, you were saying...
I was so in, yes.
You were pretty keen on the Dragons for 2024.
I was. And then I looked at the...
Are you standing by that take?
No. So I was keen on them improving. And then I kind of looked at what other teams did. And then when I actually sat down and did my preview and did my ladder and all the stuff, it was stark to me just sort of how much better a lot of these bad teams have gotten. Whereas whilst Dragons have, in my opinion, secured a really good coach and a coach they can build around for the future, the roster still does leave a lot to be desired. There's still a lot of dead weight on that roster, and I think it might take a couple of years for them to fix it up. I think they will be better. I think they will have some games this year where they surprise everyone. They'll have some wins like that Roosters win last year where people go, oh, geez, Dragons look red hot this week. But then they'll probably have a few stretches where you know, it, maybe when Ben Hunt's playing Origin or when a couple of guys are hurt, when it doesn't look so pretty. And, you know, that's not necessarily the bravest take, and it's not certainly not the most exotic one if you're a Dragons fan thinking of what you can look forward to this year. But it does seem like the most likely outcome is that they have a couple of really good wins. They improve a little bit from last year, and we're looking ahead for 25 and beyond, hoping that they can build up that roster a little bit, nurture those junior guys, and watch Shane Flanagan work his magic.
With you on Flanagan, I think he's going to be really good for them. A lot of the stuff I've heard out of the club over the summer has been how much a lot of the guys have really responded to his methods. I agree with you both that you probably won't, probably don't reap the rewards from that for this season. Any sort of restructuring under a new coach can take time. And even though Flanagan did have that great record at Cronulla, where after his first full season, they never had a losing record. That first season was kind of a try stuff out, you know, get some new guys in, get some new faces in, clear the decks a little bit. It's probably not what Saints fans want to hear after one finals win in the last, what are we at now, Brooksy, 12 odd years. Like,
what a win it was.
Yeah, a great win. It was a great win, in fairness.
We and can't they mention it every year. It's great. Let's go back.
Tarek Sims.
How good was it?
Yeah. The Tarek Sims game. Anytime you can have a game where it's the player name game, that's always great.
Yeah. So
silencing it was amazing.
Bennett's last game for the Broncos. Wayne Bennett, Dragons legend, all this time. But I'm with you guys. It's just difficult to see much progress for this season, particularly when you just look at the roster and you see some of the holes there, of which there are many. You know, like I do have high hopes for a couple of the guys. Like two dudes that I'm really interested to see this year and really interested to see what you think of this, Brooksy, is Jack Bird and Zach Lomax. I thought Bird had a pretty good first season back at Saints in 2021, then kind of lost his way a little bit over the last couple of years. He played the best footy of his career under Shane Flanagan at the Sharks. I know that's going back a bit now, but I think Flanagan's trying to get that stuff out of him. He's talking about sticking him at right center and just letting him stay there. But as a result of that, that means that Zach Lomax can't play right center. You spoke before about Mika Ravalawa, how many tries he scored last year. A large part of that was Zach Lomax. I thought he had a pretty inconsistent season on the whole, but when stuff's working, he's really good at creating for his winger. Now they're talking about Lomax playing on the wing, which I am not in love with, and I don't like the idea of him at fullback either. I think he's an out-and-out center, but they seem pretty set on Bird and Suli as their starters. So if there is some good times for the Dragons this year, you would think that Bird and Lomax will play a part of it at some point. So, Brooksy, how are you feeling about those two guys and what do you want to see from them this year?
Look, I'm not sure about the decision, like with those two players. I totally agree with you in terms of their seasons and the importance of these two. I think Flano and Jack Bird reuniting is a good thing, and that's good. And Jack can sort of talk to, you know, his time at the Sharks and talk to the young guys and the people that haven't been in the Flano aura and realm, you know, at the Sharks. He can sort of bring to what you need to do to commit and get success under Flano. Agree with you with Zach Lomax. I feel there's probably there's something bigger in terms of this move. I believe he's on a big deal.
Yeah.
And he's basically putting Zach in an uncomfortable position.
Trying to challenge him.
A, he either succeeds or B, it doesn't work out and he's going to another club, which allows Flano to get more cap space and create the team that he wants. He was high on Amone at fullback when we spoke to him, and he's high on Jack Bird as a right center. And that, I feel he's the odd man out, and it is a big season for Zach. Like, whether he wants to be a Dragon and take on the position that Flano gives him, or he's like, I'm out, I'm just going to go through the motions, we'll get through this year and have a sort of similar situation to what Ben Hunt had at the back of 2023. Back to what you were saying about the teams and where they might sit and stuff, like looking at the ladder, and let's say we'll go down to 12th, Seagulls, Dolphins, Titans, Bulldogs, Tigers. So these are the five teams that were above and obviously below the Tigers in 2023. You feel it will improve somewhat or gaining a star back, whether it's Tommy with the Eagles, Flegler and Farnworth going to the Dolphins, Desi going to the Titans and all that youth that they've got there, the Bulldogs with Crichton signing, the Tigers with Benji and sort of a new era there. But the recruitment to me doesn't suggest that we're on the up. And the communication from Flano in that trial with the Seagulls talking about how they can win the comp. And you know what? We're sort of gearing towards 2025 here, you know, going through how good Dylan Egan was and picking these random players out. That's a cause for concern for 2024. And I was talking about those crowds and membership numbers. I'm like, geez, this is another year where it's like, what are we going to do? Like, we are hoping that these sort of little combinations where he's like, okay, we're going to put Jack Bird on the right and we're going to challenge Zach Lomax and we're going to ride Tyrell Sloan at fullback and hopefully he can improve on his numbers from last year. It's sort of concerning for me. And the pack sort of just, again, a bit more like, okay, we've got Raymond back. We've got Raymond in there. Tom Eisenhower's going to probably play 80 every now and then. It's like, oh, Arne Selle is a big sort of star in the pack now, having gained all that experience at the Bunnies. It's really concerning. And 5 wins, like, to how are they going to improve on that? Like, that's my real concern. And it is going to be hopefully these debuts and these young guys coming in and hopefully this Flano-Hunt combination does well. And hopefully we don't get injuries because, yes, the roster is quite thin. I talked about last year that hopefully there's, you know, there's 2 players in each position and hopefully they'll push. Didn't really see that last year. Didn't really see that there was the competition and people were sort of being challenged for their role. And that's a concerning thing this year. If Flano does make that decision because it is a free hit and it's 2025, I think we might see some cricket scores. And that's going to be just disheartening. There is already this sort of, we're playing at Wynn, we're playing at Cogra, we're going through what the Tigers have gone through the last few years. They're hoping not to be at the bottom of the ladder. The 2 joint ventures are just a rabble at the moment in terms of success on the field. You know, 2 of the 3 biggest finals droughts with the Bulldogs as well. And it's just, I'm finding it really hard to be positive about this year and can sort of see, okay, cap space, you know, this is what's going to happen. We're going to try and lure some stars. There's chat about Luciano Leilua. And Nick, you can talk about this too because you're a Raiders guy and they're the 2 teams that are after him. It's rumoured 900K to bring him in, lock him in for 4 years. If that totally goes against the mantra of what Flano's saying in terms of what we need and how much money he's spending there to lure in Luch back to the Dragons. But, like, yeah, from your perspective, mate, is this, if he doesn't go to the Raiders and he goes to the Dragons, are you happy with a signing like this if he does come down from the Cowboys for 2024?
I think the Dragons are kind of at a point now where any sort of reasonably big kill they can get on the transfer market is going to be a net positive because how many blokes have we seen linked to them over the last few months and it just hasn't got there at all. If you really think that any club, even a club as desperate as the Dragons, is going to give Luciano Leilua $900,000 a year over 4 seasons, I got a Nigerian prince that you would really, really love to meet. Come on, that's not happening.
There's no way.
The fact that people sort of swallowed that kind of really, really surprised me. For starters, he's getting a release from the Cowboys. They're footing a large part of the bill this year, if indeed he does go to the Dragons or the Raiders. You guys aren't going to believe this. I would love to have a Leilua back at the Raiders. There must always be a Stark in Winterfell. There must always be a Leilua at the Raiders. Look, I would like him for Saints because if you look at the forward pack they do have, like they have Blake Laurie, who I absolutely adore as a footballer, one of the very few shining lights over there over the last couple of years, I would say. They have Jack DeBellin, who is still a very solid first grader. They have Jaden Sewer, who I also thought did pretty well last year in a pretty rough side. But outside of that, they don't have a whole lot of explosion. They don't have a whole lot of creativity. They don't have a whole lot of swagger or attitude or guys who sort of get the crowd and the fans and their teammates fired up. And I think Leilua would be a good fit in that regard if just based on stuff I've heard, I think he's more likely to end up at Canberra, which would suck for Saints because then that's another bloke that they've missed out on. But if he was to go to Saints, I would really like that for them. I think that's it's funny with Luch, man. He seems to, I think it's because of Joey, but he has this rep of being like a coach killer and lazy and off the rails and all that sort of thing. He's really not. He's really not. He's been pretty consistent since he's been at North Queensland. He was consistent at the Tigers for 18 months before that. You know, he's really evolved into a very different player than what he was at the Dragons that first time. So I would like him at the Raiders. I think he'd be good for the Dragons. The 900K thing isn't happening. Can we all just please settle down?
Yeah, I was shocked that people were running with that. Like the idea that in 2024, Luciano Lua is going to get $900,000 a year to play rugby league is staggering to me. But hey, people like to run with silly things and get outraged about them. So I can understand it from that point of view. But yeah, to me, it was crazy. I've obviously never been as high on him as you are, Nick. I don't think anyone could possibly be as high on the Lo Luas as you have been. But yeah, it'd be a nice pickup for the Dragons. I've never really seen it with him. I think he's fine. But
and you got to watch again, harder, bro.
Okay. But yeah, it's not really moving the needle, is it? And the fact that that could be the big piece for the Dragons is quite grim. Chat, I think, Brooksy.
But we've said, like, sorry to jump on you, Brooksy, but like, it's not as if there's one game changing signing that's going to totally flip the script. It's a process. Mm. And to me, Leilua would be part of that process. It's not like Leilua comes in and then Brooksy, I'll see you at the grand final. Like,
I think that's why
like
I said
that.
It in that tone was because that's the way it was being presented by some people, not you. Just like when the story broke a few days ago. That's more what I meant.
Yeah, sorry, Brooksy. But, I just get passionate when the Leiluas are involved.
Yeah, it's a red rag to a bull when the brothers Leilua are involved. Would you take Joey Leilua back at the Raiders, Nick?
In a heartbeat.
Well, that's why I set it up for you, mate. I knew the name was synonymous with the Green Machine. I thought I'd throw it out there. So, no, that's all right. I got you there. But this is the thing. Like, you look at the roster. Like, I talked about the Couchman boys. There's a couple of the Manly guys they got in that trade for Aaron Woods last year that didn't play first grade, Viliami Fifita and Alex Tuitavaki. And I'm interested to see how they go. I reckon they'll probably get a couple of NRL games under their belt this year. Dan Russell was sort of one of the oldest NRL debutants.
It was a nice story. It was a nice story.
It was.
Nice story. So this is not as a nice story. Like, this is the sort of chat where isn't it? Like, and this is the concern. Like, I look through the roster and I'm like, yeah, Sione Finau, like, Sevilio Tamale, like there's the 30s packed. I think if we do get Leilua, we've got to say goodbye to Corey Allen. Like, thanks for your service.
That would be a massive win for me in mine and Bungard's ongoing rivalry. I'll tell you that much, Brooksy. That's a knockout. I think he's off the show if that happens.
People can't see me, but I recoiled and had a shocked look on my face when Brooksy just said that. No, we can't have that. Can't have that at all. They don't play the same position.
Oh, we've got poor Cody Ramsey, like, going through.
Yeah.
Like, I know we're saying his focus isn't footy this year. Like, this is year two of the I don't know what to say. It's we've done well in terms of keeping Cody involved and stuff. And I you can't fault what the Dragons do off the field with some of the players and the situations they've had in recent years. But yeah, it's a shame to see him going through what he's going through off the field, and hopefully we get to see him come and play a game, whether it's New South Wales Cup or first grade, if we get to that stage. But even Max Fiennes, I remember he was released. He's back in the 30. Like we've strung together a 30. Christian, I think, did I talk about Tuipulotu, the signing from Manly? Like,
just I don't think so, but feel free to.
In as well, a winger. I don't think we need him. Like, it was just a kill, really. Another signing we can do a media release for and say, hey, we bought someone who's scored some tries in this many games, and he was, you know, Flano was with him at last year at Manly, and he's got good training ethic, and he'll be a good addition to the squad. You know, play that media release bingo, ding ding ding.
Say what you will about their top 30, but there are 30 of them. You got to give them that.
That's right. We could never take that away from them.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing too, boys, because it's like, I wouldn't mind them going 28 and just seeing what happens with the other 16 teams. Maybe someone's disgruntled. Maybe there's four players at a position and we can offer some sort of salary.
That mid-season Anthony Milford signing.
That's coming. I can't wait.
The boys are back in town. Milford and Hunt, one last ride.
Corey Oates, you know, let's bring some of that 2015 Broncos team back down. You know, like
which 2016 Shark? Which 2016 Shark can Flano sign?
I swear you've already had half the 2015 Broncos there. McCulloch was there. True. Big Show's there. Ben Hunt's there. Are we just doing the whole thing? Are we getting Oates on a mid-season? Are we getting Darbs down? Is Mitchell Dodds getting the call? Like,
get him back.
Yeah, you're right. I've been passed a note. Josiah Fecky and Ricky Latelli, two players on the radar of Flano. So look out, Super League. Hello, Wollongong and Cogra. So who knows? Yeah, maybe we can do a bit of a Broncos 15, Sharky 16 best of. You know, I think that could be a way we could get those five wins this year. But no, anyway, boys, look, there's some young guys there. I think the Couchmans, I think there's Finau, but like, you know, are they going to get chances? Does Flano want to just go, let's bottom out, boys, and let's try and unearth some guys? You know, failure is not necessarily a bad thing.
No.
You get a bit of research, you can work out, you know, what you're doing wrong. You know, it's a big thing in business, right? Don't knock failure. You know, you gain that information. Information's power. Like, maybe we can, through a bit, here's my optimism, boys.
Yes,
let's fail. Let's bottom out. And then from that, you know, in 3 years' time, we can get into the eighth. And then, you know, that 5v8, who knows? We can get into week two. I don't know, but yeah, I think this is going to be a spoon year. I'm throwing it out.
Wow. I was going to ask you where, I was just about to ask you where you thought they were going to finish. I've got them 15th on the ladder, Campo.
Yeah, I have them last, man. I do. Like, you, the more I look at the, it's the more I, usually this time of year, the more I look at a team's roster, the more I like it. And I get to the last weekend of February and I'm like, wow, 14 teams are going to make the top eight. That's crazy. Saints are that rare occasion where it's the opposite. The more I look at the squad, the less I like it. You know, and I think that they are going to go for something that Brooksy's mentioned, where they're going to just try and bottom out and get some kids in and all that. But even that could take a little bit of time because Flanagan in those Cronulla days really did favour an older squad and older players. When they won the comp in 2016, they had the highest average age of any premiership team ever. You know, I know he brought in Holmes and Burt, but they were very much exceptions. He really, really does prefer experienced guys. So I think there's a chance that even the progression of some of the young fellas is pretty slow. I do like some of them. Like, I'm with you, Brooksy. I like the Couchmans. I like Viliami Fifita. I think there's something there. Might be something there with Sione Finau, but yeah, man, I got him finishing 17th, which is
I think that
tough to say. It's a tough thing to hear, you know.
What you just touched on there, Campo, is really important. I think that's if we are going to glean positives for them for this season, we don't want to see those young guys' paths to first grade being blocked by some of those sort of top level players that are taking out roster spots who they have in abundance. Like they did this a fair bit last year, where you'd just be like, why are these guys playing so many minutes when you've got these young guys who are so highly rated just sitting there waiting for a chance? And hopefully that this is a year where a lot of those guys can get that chance. And that's the best case scenario, I think. But I just, like, for me, I don't know, like, Shane Flanagan, he's such a good coach. Like, he's such a good, like, he's got, I know the squad itself, as you said, doesn't really have an edge to it, but like, I just, the idea of a Shane Flanagan led team finishing below like teams like the Dogs and the Tigers this year, there's a world where that doesn't happen. That's why I've got them at the lofty heights of 15th.
But do you remember last year when we said Anthony Griffin teams never bottom out?
That's true. We did,
and
say
then
that.
They bottomed out. You know,
that's
Flanagan.
True.
Flanagan's a great coach, really good coach. He's the right guy to lead this team forward, but could get worse before it gets better.
I think that's the big key, right? Like, that is the big game is Flano and what he brings. And yes, 17, yes, that's definitely on the cards. I think there's other teams that could be in, like the Tigers could be in contention. I think your boys, it could come down to around 27, Nick. That game against Dragons Raiders.
I have said nothing but nice things to you today, mate, and you throw this in my face.
It could be. I like your forward pack. I think it's awesome. The back line and the pressure on Fogarty. Anyway, this isn't the Raiders preview, but it could be. Like, in a world, it could be a big game in terms of the bottom of the ladder.
In terms of the minor premiership battle, I agree. I agree with you, yeah. Brooksy. It's going to...
Imagine that. And then you've got all these like Dragons and Steelers and Raiders from yesteryear coming down to, I think it's Cogra, coming down to Cogra. You got Fox and Nine there. They've moved the schedule. They're like, let's put it.
They flex them in.
You know how they love doing a countdown all week for like a big game?
They'll have
like
the clock in the corner on Fox Sports all week. Dragons, Raiders, 83 hours to go.
Matt Nabel just going, Ross Kiddo, John Dory, Mark Russell. What have they all got in common? They all played for these teams that are playing for the minor premiership. 4 p.m.
Jesus Christ. What a...
That's itself, doesn't it?
It really does. I have a feeling those Nabel things always do.
They are a bit formulaic. Brooksy, you get three numbers on the roulette wheel. God, please don't let one of Brooksy's numbers come up. What a grim year, Nick.
All right. I'm gonna take you back. I guess it was around the time of my fandom of the Steelers. I also got into the V8 supercars, and there was a team of Dick Johnson and John Bauer, and their numbers were 17 and 18. So I'm going to go. They had the green cars and then went to that sort of red and white Steeler look. So, me as a 6-7-year-old loved it. So 17 and 18 for me, boys, two of them. And I'm going to also pick number 2. I've always had a liking of that number. I'm born in February. It is the second month. And I've seen 2 grand finals in my 42 years on this planet.
Two clubs in the joint venture. There you go.
Two clubs in the joint venture. Rod Wishart wore number 2. That's a big number. So on the roulette wheel, I would like number 2, number 17, and number 18, please.
No worries at all. And before we let you go, mate, we are just 2 weeks away from the season start in Las Vegas. I'll be there. You'll be there. But I wanted to, while we have you, who, like Campo and I, has quite a large knowledge of the NFL in addition to rugby league, we often hear about which NRL players could make the switch and play in the NFL, but what about the reverse? So I've actually put together a 13 of NFL players, and feel free to jump in at any point. Like, Campo wanted Baker Mayfield in the team because he's a winner.
He's a winner.
I agree. Him and Joe Flacco.
He's our Josh Reynolds.
They're 18th and 19th man. I like the idea of Baker Mayfield as the Josh Reynolds type causing chaos. So I'll run you through the team.
Imagine him doing the dances after he scores. That'd be great.
That would be pretty sick.
Oh, okay. We'd pack out the stands, bro.
So I tried to balance it with like a couple of defensive players, but it's mostly attacking players with a couple of exceptions. But we'll start at the back. With fullback, I went with the all-pro safety, the best defensive back in the world, Kyle Hamilton. That's safety is basically the fullback position on an NFL field, and he's a big 6'4" physical guy, really athletic. The kind of guy who, if someone breaks through, remember how Greg Inglis used to kill people after they made a line break? We'd get a bit of that. And I think we've gone away from that too much, Nick, in the modern game.
So we need more fullbacks who like are willing to commit crimes people on defense.
To make people scared to make line breaks.
Jack Whiten, player I have a complicated history with. At fullback, the one thing I did love is blokes would make breaks and he would try and fucking murder them.
Yep.
And Canberra couldn't really tackle. So he had a lot of chances at it. So it was good. I like it. Go on.
You want like a great white shark sort of type player at the back that just comes up from the deep and just hammers the runner. Yeah,
delicious.
I hear.
Yeah. I don't think we have a lot of defensive backs that like return punts or kicks anymore.
No, I was
that
thinking about like if a guy like a... if there was a Deion Sanders type still in the league now, he would have been the fullback. But
Deion famously didn't like tackling. That's
though.
The thing. That's like this is going way, way back. But there's a very famous French fullback in the '50s named Puigobert who refused to make tackles.
Who looks like Cooper Cronk, by the way.
He does look like Cooper Cronk, but there were times where people would make breaks. And Puigobert would be leaning against the goalpost, smoking a cigarette, and he'd say, "My job is not tackling. Like that's your job."
It's the most French thing I've ever heard.
That's what Prime would do, man. If he was out there,
just tucking a pack of ciggies in the padding, was he just? Like,
oh, mate, I think it was in his sock. Like
you have to respect it. Yes. You really do have to respect it.
And you got and no way is it a pack of ciggies. That's hand rolled, baby. Like, come on.
So I on the wings, I didn't want to complicate it too much. I thought. Which players would make the best wingers? Probably wide receivers. Who are the best two wide receivers? I'm with Tyreek Hill on one wing and Justin Jefferson on the other.
I like it.
Jefferson's a bit of height. I think he's 185 centimeters. Can jump like a freak. He's makes those crazy one-handed catches. Like imagine the bombs over to that corner. And Tyreek, I mean, like what do you have to say? The fastest man alive.
Fastest man in the world. Yeah. It's a historical example. He's long retired now. But I always thought Randy Moss would have made an unbelievable winger. Because he's the only person I've ever seen who runs like Greg Inglis does.
Mm.
The only one ever who's got that same stride and the size, but the speed at the same time. They're the only two I've ever seen like that. So I'm going to watch Randy Moss highlights once this is over. I want you all to know that.
84.
Three catches, three touchdowns, 189 yards, whatever that stat line is for that one game. Still pops up all the time. I sent this to a few people. Got a lot of positive feedback from my center pairing because they couldn't have gone with too much more different guys. So Justin Fields is one of my centers, the quarterback for the Chicago Bears, soon to be the quarterback of somewhere else. Like, say what you will about him as a passer, but in terms of athleticism, he's probably only behind Lamar Jackson as the most athletic quarterback in the league. The way he glides through the field. He gets around the park well, Nick. He does get around the park well. And, you know, they don't like passing in Chicago. That's okay. He can be he can play out in the wing. Sorry, just inside that winger there. And, you know, he'll have no trouble getting outside his man. I'm sure once you teach him how to flick pass, I'm sure he could master that. But the one I'm most proud of is on the other side. Now, much like once a player like Mele Hufanga or Sifa Talakar or Bradman Best gets the ball one-on-one, you know it's over. If you get the King Derrick Henry one-on-one with any defender, it's over. So that's my other center. I was pretty pleased with both of those. You got Thunder and Lightning in Fields and Derrick Henry. Any objections to that?
I'm a Seahawks fan. I'm thinking Kenny Walker into a Matt Timoko sort of style center. You know, real stocky, just big legs, just... You know, I think that's a good comparison, but I can see where you're coming from.
Mm.
Derrick Henry, you know, all time there. I think you've got me there in terms of career. But, you know, I'm thinking
Kenny Walker's a good player.
It could be Kanine, could be the next Timoko. You know, if we get him in a combine, who knows?
Hey, what if we get Timoko taking snaps up in Washington, bro?
Yeah.
If Pete Carroll would have done it.
What if they do a foreign exchange thing for a semester? Like Timoko goes to play for the Seahawks and Kenny comes and plays
that sounds like that's a direct-to-video 90s sports comedy.
It absolutely is. How have we not made that? How have we not made that?
What I like about Fields and Henry, right? So Fields probably not a great downfield passer, but if it's him and Tyreek just running the option or whatever, he's got a pitch to him a couple of times.
Mm.
I think he can do that. And I think he could easily become one of those Zach Lomax types where he's great at like drawing blokes in and flicking it out. And then like, obviously you want Derrick Henry first choice always to run, but he's thrown a couple of touchdown passes
in the playoffs against us. Unfortunately,
he's done it a little bit. So like, he could pop one to Jefferson should the need arise. You know, these boys, there's more to them than just running fast and over people.
That's right.
You know, there's a bit of craft to the game.
Yeah. So our halves combination is 5'8" Lamar Jackson, halfback Patrick Mahomes. You've got the most dynamic athletic football player in the world in Lamar Jackson. More of a running 5'8" in this team because you've got the smartest player in the league in Mahomes. Still a very good athlete, but he's great at throwing. Remember, think about all the times he throws little pop passes to guys like Tyreek and Kelsey and stuff. Like he can throw those little pitches. And once you taught him the rules and stuff, I have no doubt that he could
execute game plans with the best of them because he's just like such a smart player as well. Think that when I was trying to build this team, I thought, who are the two best playmakers? It's those two guys. Let's put them in the team together and work the rest out later. Be a bit boring to put a punter in as one of the halves.
Mahomes digging into the line at first receiver, going out the back to Lamar. I can see it now.
Yeah. So this is the part where I kind of just pick like the best defensive players for all the for all the forward positions. And again, like the most obvious criticism people are going to have is like, you know, none of them are used to playing rugby league. They're not going to be able to go up and back for 8 minutes. I'm aware of that, but all of the that applies to all of them. So you just have to leave that at the door.
We're trying to have some fun here, guys.
And now oxygen tanks on the sideline at Brookvale Oval. Yeah, but there's pickle juice, which
I'd like to see him without the pads.
Exactly, mate. Exactly. So I just picked Aiden Hutchinson and Miles Garrett as our props. Just two absolute giant behemoth, 2 meter tall, 130 kilo dudes who can also run probably faster than any middle forward currently in the NRL.
I'm thinking the first three quarters, Nick Bosa could be in that rotation somewhere. Maybe he's first off the bench. But yeah, player. I like that.
Oh, imagine if we still had the unlimited interchanges from the 90s. Forget about it. Uka was a fun one. This was, I think this was your suggestion, Nicholas, but I had a couple of other ideas for it, but I think you nailed it with Christian McCaffrey as our dummy half.
Yeah, so versatile playmaker. Like, I think he could be one of those hookers who even slots in at first or second receiver some of the time, you know, but that quick play the ball, he's off and it's over. Like, Damian Cook standing on a beach would look slow by comparison to CMC. My backup choice here was Jalen Hurts. I think he could be an unreal James Seguiaro.
Push.
Try sneak close to the line. You know what I'm saying? Short yardage situations. But we had to have McCaffrey in there, so I've got him packing down at nine.
Yeah. Brooksy, any objections?
Yeah, you could move McCaffrey into a ball-playing lock sort of scenario, I think, if you want to put Hurts at nine. And that could be another scenario, I think, if you've got McCaffrey in there and you've got Hurts in the team, you've got that variety of switching the 13, the 9. You could bring Bosa in if you want with Garrett and Hutchinson. Like, that's finals. That's finals footy.
Mate, that's taking Saints all the way.
Yep. And then it was kind of the same logic with my edges. I mean, you could just like pick whoever you like the best. Like, you could have TJ Watt in there. You could have Micah Parsons, both fine choices. I went with Max Crosby on one edge, and I went with Roquan Smith, the best linebacker in football and the best tackler in football, on the other. But I think picking any of those guys.
I don't want Max Crosby because he looks like Ben Stokes.
You know what? That's fair.
Yeah.
That is true. Fair.
Yeah, get him out. I'm not having it. Baz ball this, Max.
Yeah, Micah Parsons back in.
If you see him in Vegas, you tell him that from me, both of you.
I'll try. I can't promise that. He was on Pop My Tails. He seems like a nice guy, but yeah.
He didn't ask to look like Ben Stokes.
Max with two X's is a bold play as well. But I kind of like it. But yeah, I think again, like, just think of like the best guys who play like edge or inside outside linebacker and just pick whichever ones you like the most.
If I was looking for an attacking player, a good hole runner, I feel like Sam Laporta from the Lions.
Nice. I did think about Kelsey for an edge as well.
I don't know. I don't know if he can handle the physicality. Think
about that. Remember the pass he threw to Tony in that game where he ended up being offside?
That's true, like, actually. That's true,
Think of the Josh Schuster-esque flick passes Kelsey could throw on an edge.
Travis Kelsey never flicked a pass in his life.
You could teach him.
You stole my idea, boys. I thought as an alternative, tight ends on the edges, I had Kelsey. And then maybe Kittle, Laporta, and then Joku. I thought that
one. Oh, Joku.
Came on strong in the second half of the season. But, you know, maybe a couple of tight ends on the bench. Again, that rotation in the forward pack. I think that's prelim material. I know I said finals before, but I think we're building here. And that Jackson-Mahomes combo was... That's Walker Reynolds for me, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Running six, like controlling seven. If you only had the Michael Dixon boot, you know,
it would have been lazy to put. I also thought about just putting Jordan Mailata in this team, but like, I mean, come on. But
it's too easy.
It is too easy, and this was probably the
favorite. My yeah. favorite selection of the entire team is this next one.
This is the one I was most proud of. This I sent this to you, Josh Y, a few other people, and they were all like, love this. This is the best one. Brooksy hasn't heard it yet. So, you know, all playing locks are in vogue. Like, you need your lock to be that sort of link man, that extra playmaker. All great teams have one of those now. And who better than the biggest and most sort of physically punishing quarterback in the league in Josh Allen as our lock forward?
I like it. I like it.
Love watching Josh Allen play. Completely kamikaze running style, like where guys like Mahomes and Lamar try to avoid contact or get out of bounds or make guys miss. He does not give a shit. He will just try to run through guys all day long. And I'm sure once you taught him how to tackle, he'd equally enjoy trying to hurt guys as without the ball as he does with the ball.
You know what? I'm not even teaching him to tackle. I'm just saying, Josh, just run into him.
Run into him?
Just run into him, knock him over. Like, we're rescinding the shoulder charge rule here, of course, but like, yeah, just fuck him up, Josh.
Yeah.
You've got what? So your middles. You've got Garrett and you've got Hutchinson inside, outside him. Like, he'll be sweet. He's protected.
Yeah, he's not doing a heap of tackling here.
No, exactly. No, this is all, this smells GF.
Yeah. And then, so that's it. Yeah. And then, 18th and 19th man are Baker Mayfield and Joe Flacco.
Well, you could, so 14 to 17. Have been erased.
Well, I mean, we just ran through some guys. You can have Laporta on there. Yeah. You can have TJ Watt on there.
Hurts as a 14 is a must.
Because Hurts I'm enchanted is a bench
by,
14.
I'm enchanted by McCaffrey dropping back to lock at some point.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I mean, this is a fun idea. We'll put the full team up on a graphic or something, put it on our socials later. But yeah, I would love to see that happen somehow. Do you think that, how long would you need to teach, like, to teach them the rules and stuff direct, or you think they could credibly challenge like an NRL select team?
Look, if the AFL and Gaelic football can get together and create international rules,
I like where your head's at.
And the NFL can get together and create whatever this is. And you know what? I'm going to go over. If it's year six of this Vegas trip, I'm there. I'm there for this, more so the doubleheader.
And Lamar Jackson play halfback for Souths in the NFL offseason this year.
Do you really want him to let you down in another prelim?
Oh!
Oh, what did I do that?
Oh, yes.
That was the meanest thing you've ever said to me.
You walked into it, mate. You walked into it. Come on.
Well, I was enjoying this fun exercise until this point. This podcast is over. Thank you for coming, Nathan. Do you have anything to promote before we get out of here? What is the SEN Vegas schedule looking like?
Oh, we aren't doing anything officially over there, guys. I'm taking annual leave.
Fantastic.
I might do a bit of podcasting. I don't know. I might do some interviews and put it on the SEN League podcast. But we will still have normal broadcasting from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. with Bossy Brandy, Matty White or Matty Johns on the Fridays. We've got Jimmy Smith. We've got Joel and Fletch. Or Joel and or Fletch, depending on their schedule. Fletch will be over in Vegas. I think we've got Stephen O'Keefe and Michelle Bishop filling in over that time. We've got Sports Day, Sattler and Matt Rogers. It's going to be a big week. I'm really looking forward to it. Before we close, how do you guys feel about this venture? I know year one's going to be a massive feel out, see what works, what doesn't, build for 2, 3, 4, and 5, in my opinion. Are you guys high on this? You're obviously
going,
but
I'm delighted to be there, and I'll be like you doing some shows from over there, of course. And you know, I'm coming in with no cynicism whatsoever. Like, we were extremely cynical about this when it was announced, but you know, as time progresses, we've just got to let it play out and see how it goes. And you know, I've already lined up a few things to do during the week, both work-wise and fun-wise, and I'm really looking forward to it. I think it should be a great few days.
I think it'll be a great time for everyone that goes over there. Look, I'm not doubting that for a second. I've been a big advocate of rugby league in America for a really long time, but over the last couple of years, my view on that has sort of shifted. I used to think it was possible for league to get a foothold there. I don't think it is anymore. The more time I spend there, the more unlikely I think it is. And while I don't doubt, again, that everyone's going to go over there and have an absolutely sick one, and just the novelty of seeing NRL teams play in that crazy Raiders stadium, that'll be awesome and really, really fun. But I think the way that the NRL has promoted it has been really, really poor. And I wonder if they take a big loss on it, which I think they're going to, if they are actually going to follow through with these 5 or 6 year plans that they supposedly have for it, you know? So I want it to work, but my gut tells me that it's not going to.
Well, I guess if it's treated like Magic Round, and I know it's a totally different circumstance, Brisbane is not Las Vegas.
But they call it Bris Vegas.
They do, that's true. But it's turned into a massive asset for the NRL Magic Round. And I think even if they get FS1 showing NRL consistently, if they get a clip of the gambling money and it's in casinos in Vegas, you know, people are going to go to Vegas potentially in the future to watch NBA games. There's already NHL and NFL there. You've got NASCAR there. They're doing Netflix has got a tennis match there on the Sunday. Vegas is changing in terms of what it's all about. It is becoming a massive sports and entertainment hub in the States. And I believe it's good. Like, yes, I don't think we'll be creating a Hawaiian or Californian franchise as the 21st or 22nd team in the 2030s. But I think in terms of entertainment and getting eyeballs and greenbacks in NRL, I think there could be something there. And, yeah, I think they've got to ride it out and probably take a few years, like you said, Nick, as a loss and build this as an asset. Because I know Aussies, but I'm going to 3 NBA games while I'm there.
Yeah.
You know, there is. I'm not just going there for the NRL. I'm going to go watch some comedy. I'm going to hopefully see some bands. I'm going
to
see some.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of mates going to the U2 concert that's on that weekend.
In the Sphere. Why aren't they playing this game in the Sphere?
If the game was in the Sphere, how much better would you feel about it?
I'm there tomorrow.
Okay.
Sorry, Brooksy. Keep going.
Oh, no, but that's it. It's the lures. It's like, you know, whatever it might be, it's like, you know, why am I watching NRL? Why am I listening to SEN? Why am I subscribing to Boom Rookies? You've got to give reasons, right? And that's what I think this trip does. It does tick a lot of boxes in terms of, you know what, I'm going to make that my end of summer trip because, I can do this. I could go snowboarding if I really wanted to. I could do whatever. I could go to Hawaii on the way back and chill before I get into 30 weeks of NRL. I don't, like, people are different and America provides a lot of different options. And as an attraction, I think Vegas is just growing and I'm excited.
I am very excited as well.
Here's the optimism.
Yeah, here it is.
So, if you want to do a little multi dragon spoon in a Brooksy optimistic about Vegas, it's paying $5. Get on that one.
Oh, nice. I want it to work. I'd love it if it worked and it ended up being a big, big, huge smash success. I don't want to sound like I'm death riding or anything. It'd be amazing.
I think you're being pretty fair.
Yeah, it'd be amazing if we had games in Vegas every year. You know, that'd be incredible.
Yeah, completely agree. I share Brooksy's optimism. I'm really looking forward to it.
And how about even Origin in LA? It'd be amazing, wouldn't
it? It's been done. Although I tell you, say like you said, like a Hawaii team as team 31. Can you imagine the bloodbath that would take place of people fighting to be the media manager for the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors or whatever?
Yeah, what a job!
I've been to Aloha Stadium for a Bruno Mars concert, and even that intensity on game day would be unsurpassed in the NRL. Like they just love
the intensity of a Bruno Mars concert.
And if it's their own, it's their own. Like Bruno is, like, you know, this could be huge. The Rainbow Warriors for 2034. Who knows?
Get them in. Get them in.
Get them in. Are you listening? Are you listening, Volandis? Get them in.
Yeah, that's got to be where the next expansion is. Nick, we did briefly, like we were chatting about. Well, I think Brady was involved and some other people. We were seriously contemplating getting over to Toronto to watch Sunnyville play for the Wolfpack at one point.
We were hunting for airfares to do it.
And then COVID happened.
We were going to be there for Canada Day, and that was January of 2020. And I am being handed a third note.
Oh man, it's so funny. Thinking about plans you made in early 2020 and just how they just, you know, just faded away into nothingness. Like that photo of Marty McFly's family in Back to the Future. It's great. Oh, well,
would the Wolfpack be in the Super League right now if COVID didn't happen?
It's one of the great what. It's one of the great what ifs. Mm. One of the great what ifs.
I wish they were, but oh well. What are you going to do? By the way, we're not going to talk about this at all because it's not really that. But that Franklin Pele send off was incredible.
It was so funny because he makes
the first swinging arm. You're like, oh, that's not too bad.
I knew he got sent off.
Yeah,
he
made the tackle.
And I was like, wow, that's a send-off these days?
That's exactly what I thought.
I weep for the future of our once-proud sport. And then he got in with his swinging arm and punched like four people. And I was like, oh, no, wait, no. Yeah, no, I get it now. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah, because I like you.
That game looked like it was wild. They had like, it's like the third highest Super League crowd ever.
And someone's head got stomped on.
Two Hull FC blokes got sent off. So Franklin Pele killed someone. Liggy Sow stomped on someone's head.
Oh.
Hull scored six tries but only kicked two goals. Mm. Look up Peter Hicku missed conversion.
Oh, it was so funny.
It's dead set closer to the corner post. Like
any person that listens to this show picked at random would have got closer to the sticks. It was so bad.
Great shit.
Did they sign the wrong cowboy? Maybe they wanted Kyle Felt, and when he went to line up that kick, they went, "Oh, we got the wrong cowboy."
Oh well, man, Kyle's looking tanned, isn't he? Like bloody hell, it must be that North Queensland stuff.
Yeah.
And in the game, like, I know it's been there for a while, the red card, the showing of the red card. I
wish we had that. I agree.
You get the point and the
I don't want the yellow card though, because I still love the ten fingers. The ten fingers has to stay. I don't want yellow cards for sin bins, but I want red cards for send offs.
You just slot it in between the middle. And it's entertainment, boys. This is where we're at. I think we need some cards.
If Valandis is listening, we've given him some gold here. Some absolute gold, Jerry. Gold. Last thing, real quick. What have you thought of New Curb so far?
Oh, I think episode two
was fantastic.
Was much better than one.
Back to a return
the
to form.
Jockey. You know when they're pushing the friendship with because Palestinian Chicken is my favorite.
It's such a great episode.
I think it's the best episode of any comedy. I thought about it. Love Seinfeld, love Arrested Development. Some great episodes in those two shows. But the way they handled the Palestinian Chicken episode and what we know now and what's going on now, I think
it's so funny.
It's just amazing.
And it's so funny because people might not have seen that episode, but it's like one of the most used GIFs on the internet is the GIF of him like umming and ahhing at the end. Like you see that GIF all the time in like comment sections on things, but it's from that episode, which, yeah, and, absolutely fantastic.
And the late, great Funkhauser walking in on
Larry. Yeah, yeah. Oh,
it's just one of the great scenes. Hurry up and watch it. Just get around it, Nick. Come on, please.
I'm sure it's great. I'm sure when I watch it, I'll love it. I just haven't watched it yet.
Okay. No, but it's just because you love Seinfeld so much. That's why I find it so strange. Like, it'd be like if you'd never seen Futurama. It'd be super weird. Anyway.
It'd be like if I've never seen The Wire.
Don't start. All right. Before we get out of here, quick thank you to people in the top two tiers on our Patreon subscription service. If you'd like to support us, go to patreon.com/NRLRookies. You'll get an extra show every week, access to our Discord server, entry into this year's Coltrane Cup, merch discounts, and plenty more. And as an added bonus, new listeners for this show only, Nathan Brooks will give you a one-hour block on SEN to talk about whatever you like.
Conspiracy theory.
Whatever floats your boat. Doesn't have to be sports related. Anything at all.
Maths. Curb.
Yep.
Taylor Swift, her influence on the NRL and Australian pop culture.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you want. It's Sports Entertainment Network. It's wide ranging. Just
the E's doing a lot of heavy lifting for whoever takes advantage of this offer. But and thank you too, Chris Avnell, Dave, Go Work, Go Captain Australia. Michael, do you believe the Earth is flat? I don't know, eh? Yeah, I believe it is. Murray, Rocky and Rafi, Stu, and if you don't expect too much from me, you might not be let down. Ashley and Martin, beautiful big ball-playing front rowers don't just fall out of the sky, you know. Broncos legend Adam Reynolds, Bruce the Bomb, Butsy, Chewbacca Snuffleupagus, Dan Cullinane, Danny Levi's biggest hater, David, an anonymous backer, Ed Burton, Frank, future Clive Churchill medalist, Keon Colomatungi, Hired Goons, I can't yell because Zoom cuts my microphone out, I was saying Boo Earns, Jason Joe, Joel Wrigley, John, Josh Braden, Kicks Outs out of the comp, Lachlan Hancock, Luke Charles Smidmore, Mads, Taylor's Virgin, Matthew Duggan, Mr. Beefy, Morgan Morgan Watkins. My name is Nick Campton, and rugby union is my favorite type of rugby. My ding ding dong is hard and I'm sad, never trendy. Nick Kotrick lives on my street, subliminally coaching him to run it straight. Paul Mac 78, Reese Brown, Roxanne Clark, Sea Eagles legend Adam Woods. See you in Vegas, Shunter, the Black Vegetable, the Right Dishonorable Rodrigo Eduardo the Fourth, Thor, Tom Hardy, Was. We're now having shouts out from loyalties, ever listeners, all listeners, please send $5 to at theme at bungard on twitter.com and Westlife Podcast. West Tigers are back, baby. Thank you so much for your support to everyone who just listens. Thank you as well. Alex Sergicomi as well. It re-added him to the Patreon list as I hit refresh just then.
Wow, so, a live re-edition.
Alex has got one of those subscriptions where like it randomly cancels for like half a day and then it pops up again. So thank you as well, Alex. Appreciate you, Serge. All right, let's get the hell out of here. Brooksy, thank you once again for coming on. And much like our patrons see you in Vegas, I'll see you in Vegas.
Oh, can't wait, boys. Thanks very much for having me on again. And good luck this year with all your endeavours. And looking forward to speaking about the Dragons maybe being 16th in 2025.
What a dream. What a dream. Thanks for coming on, mate. This is great.
Thanks, boys.
Take it away, Campo.
Goodbye, Bertrand.
And it's goodbye from me.